Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Janda Balaba Giribada Hari. Gopi Janda Balaba Giribada Hari. Yasoda Nandana Pajajana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Pajajana Ranjana Yamuna Chira Vanachari Yamuna Chira Vanachari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Balaba Giribada Hari. Gopi Jana Balaba Giribada Hari. Yasoda Nandana Prajajana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Prajajana Ranjana Yamuna Chira Vanachari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Radha Madhava, Radha Madhava, Radhe. Jaya Radhe, Jaya Radhe, Jaya Radhe, Jaya Shri Radhe. Nitai Kona Hariba, Hariba. Hari Bhagavata Hari Bhagavata Jai Om Vishnu Pad, Pramanx, Pratikacharya, Stavu, Tadisi, Matas, Divine Grace, Abhaya, Charanaravinda, Bhaktivedanta, Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, ISKCON Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Granta Raj, Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki, Samaveda Bhaktivedanta Ki, Go Premanandi, all glories to the Samal devotees, all glories to the Samal devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Which chapter? Which chapter? 16.5. Okay. I did study a little bit. Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Encounter 3, Chapter 16, text number 5. This chapter is entitled Jai and Vijay Cursed by the Sages. So, please repeat. Yanamani chagrinati. Loko brite kritagasi. So sadhu varas tat kirtam. Hanti twacham eva maya. Yanamani chagrinati loko britye kritagasi so sadhu badas takirtam hanti twacham eva maya. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Okay. Yet of whom? Namani, the names, cha, and grihanati, take, loka, people in general, britye, when a servant, krita agasi, has committed something wrong. Sa, that. Asadu vada. Blame. Tat. Of that person. Kirtim. The reputation. Hanti. Destroys. Twacham. The skin. Iva. As. Amaya. Leprosy. Translation. A wrong act committed by a servant leads people in general to blame his master. Just as a spot of white leprosy on any part of the body pollutes all of the skin. Please repeat. A wrong act committed by a servant leads people in general to blame his master. Just as a spot of white leprosy on any part of the body pollutes all of the skin. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. A Vaishnava should be fully qualified. As stated in the Bhagavatam, anyone who has become a Vaishnava has developed all the good qualities of the demigods. There are 26 qualifications mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. A devotee should always see that his Vaishnava qualities increase with the advancement of his Krishna consciousness. A devotee should be blameless because any offense by the devotee is a scar on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The devotee's duty is to be always conscious in his dealings with others, especially with another devotee of the Lord. Om Agyana Tamrindasya Gananjanan Shlakaya Chakshurum Manatam Yenitayasmai Shri Gurave Namah Shri Chaitanya Manovastam Stapitam Yenavudale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Swa Parantikam Vanchakal Kripascha Kripsandaviya Pachapatit Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. So this is a very important verse and concept to understand, that if a devotee misrepresents or behaves improperly, then it is a blur on the character or reputation of the Guru and even Krishna. So therefore, every devotee has a obligation, a duty, and a very important service of representing Krishna properly. So that means we will have to make advancement. Prabhupada says here, the devotee should always see that his Vaishnava qualities increase with the advancement of his Krishna consciousness. So that is really what spiritual life is all about. We're not going to the temple just to look religious. We're becoming devotees so that we can actually ultimately become perfect. As Prabhupada talked about perfection, the perfection of yoga. So many places it talks about becoming perfect. So that's a very lofty ideal, but that is the ultimate goal, and it's our duty to try to become perfect, because ultimately every soul is perfect. And, you know, Krishna, he's perfect, so he can't create anything imperfect. So we're all intrinsically perfect beings. But to get to that point of perfection, that requires hard work and a lot of scrubbing the heart and a lot of practice. So therefore we have the process of Bhakti Yoga. Bhakti Yoga is actually a foolproof process if you follow it properly. But we see that a lot of people take it up, but they give it up. Or they, somehow or other, they disqualify themselves by their behavior. So there's 26 qualities of a devotee. Probably one of the most important ones is to be non-envious. Of course, they're all important. But envy is probably one of the most destructive qualities that a devotee could have. So therefore, we see that there are instructions in the scriptures about what happens to somebody who's envious. This Gopal Chapala, he was very envious of Srivas Thakur. So Srivas Thakur, he, of course, he's one of the Panchatattva, he's incarnation of Narada Muni, so he's a perfected being. And so at Srivasangam, Lord Chaitanya would congregate there with his intimate associates to have kirtan. And this Gopal Chapala, he was a very atheistic, nasty bit of work. And so he wanted to defame Srivas Thakur. So therefore, outside his door, he put the articles for worshipping Durga, which is considered to be a very disreputable thing to do amongst advanced devotees. So, but he wanted to defame him, and so the articles, I can't remember what they are exactly, but they signify somebody who worships Durga. So when he saw them, he immediately called all the gentlemen, all the devotees. He said, look, I've been worshipping Kali. Because he didn't care about his reputation, which is one very important quality. We shouldn't care about our reputation. So he specifically pointed out, this is what I've been doing. But of course, nobody believed him. His associates didn't believe him, because they knew that he wouldn't do that kind of thing, because this is reserved for people that sacrifice goats and drink alcohol and do all kinds of nonsense. So, but he behaved very exemplary, because he didn't immediately get freaked out. No, it's not true, you know. He was all these great personalities. We had a class the other day about how to be humble. Very important qualification to be humble. But one of the greatest ways to become humble, in my opinion, is to hear about great devotees. When we hear about the behavior of great devotees, automatically we realize how neophyte we are, at least how neophyte I am. For instance, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we, I don't have a good memory, so I have to read, sorry. But this is a very nice example of somebody who's very humble, Krishnadas Kaviraj, after writing the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita. Then he says this. He says, "My inexperienced words do not know how to dance by themselves. The mercy of the Guru made them dance as much as possible, and now after dancing they have taken rest." So he's finished Chaitanya Charitamrita. Okay. "I now worship the lotus feet of all my readers." So, by the mercy of their lotus feet, there is all good fortune. So this is Krishna Das Kaviraj, who's obviously a pure devotee. He's a gopi descended, a manjari descended from the spiritual world. He's saying this, and he really means it. Like, he really meant Jagai Mare Hoite Munise Papista Purusha Rakita Hoite Munise Lagista. He really meant it, Prabhupada said, when he said, "I am lower, I'm more sinful than Jagai and Madai. I am lower than the worms in the stool." And Prabhupada said he really meant it. So he really means what he says. "I decorate my head with the dust of the lotus feet of my audience. Now you have all drunk this nectar, and therefore my labor is successful." So this is an example of somebody who's humble. There was somebody, that Gopal Chapala, he was forced to be humble because he got leprosy for trying to defame Shivas Thakur because he was envious. So we, unfortunately, in our modern Vaishnav Sangha, we see a lot of criticism, based on envy, I would say, a lot of criticism. And we hate to think of what will happen to these devotees. It's very unfortunate because they're so offensive. And so this Gopal Chapala, he got leprosy, and it was extremely painful having leprosy. I mean, I just had eczema. I was eating the wrong things. And it was so itchy, it was driving me crazy. I wonder if it was like some kind of punishment for being critical, but I was trying to think of who I've been critical of. I couldn't really think of anybody who'd been super critical of. But anyway, it's going away now, fortunately. I consulted 6 different medical practitioners. 6. 3 of them said, the allopathic ones, and they're all great devotees and nice people, but they didn't really say that the cause of it is from what you're eating. So they recommend this kind of high, heavy steroid ointment that gets rid of it, but it comes back. So therefore I changed my diet. Actually, fermented things are not good for me. I don't know about you, but fermented things may give you rashes or whatever. Anyway, that's another thing. So I had my blood test done. I've never had it done before. Anyway, I shouldn't be saying all this, but it's quite interesting. So I had my blood test done, and the doctor, Dina Bando, he said, "It was remarkable. We never see this." Because everything was just right. Because I'm leading a very healthy lifestyle. I'm not trying to brag. I'm just saying, it's important to lead a healthy lifestyle. So naturally, devotees will be healthier than the average person. But one thing is, having your own fruit trees is very wonderful. Everyone should grow some fruit trees. And the trees are amazing. And to see the fruit on the trees, like I have these pear trees, and there's so many pears, and they're really bowing down low. And but they go through austerities to produce this fruit. Because basically every living entity is meant to serve. So the trees, the fruit trees, they are serving human beings, but they go through a lot of austerity. They have to stand there in one place. Sometimes it's very, very hot. They can't get any shade. Sometimes it's no water, there's no rain. Very austere, but they produce this amazing fruit. Anyway, so Prabhupada wanted us to become ideal. Actually, there's a verse in the 10th canto, Yesuryam Rita Dambersha Himsamana Vivajita, which is explaining when Krishna was attacked by the cart demon. At that time, Mother Yashoda said, we need to get the Brahmin's blessings. So she called Nanda Maharaj, and he called the Brahmins. And the verse says, whenever there are Brahmins who are free from false prestige, pride, there's other qualifications. If they're properly qualified Brahmins, then their blessings never go in vain. So Prabhupada wanted to create, and in the purport, Prabhupada says, this is one of the last purports he actually ever wrote. He says that, I want to create a class of Brahmins to bless the world. So really, Prabhupada was very adamant about Varnashram, because maybe we don't really understand Varnashram, but bottom line is, you can't have Varnashram without Brahmins. So, of course, you need all the four Varnas, but Brahmins are the most important. So, to get the blessings of the Brahmins, so that is so important. And this is actually, there's a very wonderful Rishabhdev instructing his sons. He's talking about the Brahmins. He says, O respectful Brahmins, as far as I'm concerned, no one is equal or superior to the Brahmins in this world. I do not find anyone comparable to them. When people know my motive after performing rituals according to the Vedic principles, they offer food to me with faith and love through the mouth of a Brahmin. When food is offered unto me, I eat it with full satisfaction. Indeed, I derive more pleasure from food offered in that way than the food offered in the sacrificial fire. But then there's another. When Prithu Maharaj, he was giving instructions to the citizens, it said that his stars were like the twinkling stars in the dewy morning. So the dew and the stars, sunrise, dawn, looks very beautiful. So Prithu Maharaj, he was very beautiful. So he's instructing the citizens. So he says, the Supreme Personality of God, the Brahmins and Vaishnavas are personally glorified by their characteristic powers of tolerance, penance, knowledge, and education. By dint of all these spiritual assets, Vaishnavas are more powerful than royalty. It is therefore advised that the princely order not exhibit its material prowess before these two communities and should avoid offending them. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the ancient eternal Godhead, who is foremost amongst all great personalities, obtained the opulence of his staunch reputation, which purifies the entire universe by worshipping the lotus feet of those Brahmins and Vaishnavas. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is everlastingly independent and who exists in everyone's heart, is very pleased with those who follow in his footsteps and engage without reservation in the service of the descendants of Brahmins and Vaishnavas. For he is always dear to Brahmins and Vaishnavas, and they are always dear to him. By regular service to the Brahmins and Vaishnavas, one can clear the dirt from his heart and thus enjoy supreme peace and liberation from material attachment and be satisfied. In this world, there is no fruit of activity superior to serving the Brahmin class, for this can bring pleasure to the demigods for whom the many sacrifices are recommended. In Brahminical culture, a Brahmin's transcendental position is eternally maintained because the injunctions of the Vedas are accepted with faith, austerity, scriptural conclusions, full sense, and mind control, and meditation. In this way, the real goal of life is illuminated, just as one faces it fully reflected in a clear mirror. Okay, this next verse, next two verses are really resonate with me. O respectable personalities present here, I beg the blessings of all of you that I may perpetually carry on my crown the dust of the lotus feet of such Brahmins and Vaishnavas until the end of my life. He who can carry such dust on his head is very soon relieved of all the reactions which arise from a sinful life, and eventually he develops all good and desirable qualities. Last one. Whoever acquires the Brahminical qualifications, whose only wealth is good behavior, who is grateful and who takes shelter of experienced persons, gets all the opulence of the world. I therefore wish that the Supreme Personality of God and his associates be pleased with the Brahmin class, with the cows, and with me. So, Brahmins are very important, as we know, and we're trying to become Brahmins. Like Prabhupada said, you know, when you get Brahmin initiation, he's giving the opportunity to become a Brahmin. So making progress, making advancement, is described in this verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is a very important verse. But if one only chants with some slight faith the holy names of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, very quickly he is cleansed of all offenses. Thus, as soon as he chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, he feels the ecstasy of love for God. Purport. So this is an important purport. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur remarks in this connection, if one takes shelter of Lord Chaitanya, Mahaprabhu and Nityananda follows their instructions to become more tolerant than a tree and humbler than the grass, and in this way he chants the holy name of the Lord. Very soon he achieves the platform of transcendental loving service to the Lord, and tears appear in his eyes. There are offenses to be considered in chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, but there are no such considerations in chanting the names of Gaura Nityananda. Anyway, I'll jump over a little bit. One should first take shelter of Gaura Nityananda in order to reach ultimately Radha Krishna. Srila Narottam Das Thakur sings in this connection, then he quotes the Gauranga Boliteva song. In the beginning, one should very regularly chant Sri Gaura Sundar's holy name and then chant the holy name of Lord Nityananda. Thus, one's heart will be cleansed of impure desires for material enjoyment. Then one can approach Vrindavan Dham to worship Lord Krishna. Unless one is favored by Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, there is no need to go to Vrindavan, for unless one's mind is purified, he cannot see Vrindavan, even if he goes there. Actually, going to Vrindavan involves taking shelter of the six Goswamis by reading the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Vidagdha Madhava, Lalita Madhava, and the other books they have given. In this way, one can understand the transcendental loving affairs between Radha and Krishna. So, you know, we have this perfect process of devotional service, and of course, the devotee. Yasyasta Bhakti Bhagavat Yakinchana Savigunai Statras Samasati Sura Harava Bhaktas Yukto Mahadgana Manorate Nasati Bhavato Bahi. So it says that all the exalted qualities of the demigods reside within a Vaishnav. But if somebody is not a devotee, then Whatever good qualities they have, they're meaningless because these persons are simply on the mental platform. One day they could do something good, the next day they could do something bad because they're controlled by their mind. So we are trying to become perfect. We're trying to become Brahmins. Srila Prabhupada wanted us to become Brahmins. We want to change the world. Prabhupada, I was reading this book, compilation of Srila Prabhupada's statements on different topics, and Srila Prabhupada, he was so, there's quotes on a different range of topics, but Prabhupada was so, you know, he was so enthusiastic to spread Krishna consciousness, and he expected his followers to do the same, and he expected his followers to really change the world and to make the world a nice place to live. So we devotees, we have a duty to Srila Prabhupada to try to become perfect, to try to change the world, and we see that it's actually happening. We see, especially in India, well, I was just in India, it's amazing how Srila Prabhupada has affected the whole Indian subcontinent. I went to the Kumbh Mela, and so many people were coming to the ISKCON camp, and Gauranga Prabhu, he was there. They had two food camps. They were distributing 70,000 plates of prasadam every day, and then distributing 60,000 plates of, Bhagavad Gita's. And now I see at the Rath Yatra festival recently in Puri, they had 20 food distribution places they were giving out. He was there, Gauranga cooking in the kitchen. He's pretty amazing. He was just in New York. He gets around. He's a very dedicated person. And then, of course, if you go to Govardhanika village, beautiful place. But the point is, ISKCON is really influencing India. And it's amazing, Prabhupada, he just started with Western people. He didn't have any Indians. The only Indian he had was Gopal Krishna Prabhu at the time. No other Indians in the beginning. And Sarabi Maharaj, he was the architect. They didn't get an Indian architect. It was a Dutchman who later fell away. But he came back at the very end, and apparently he passed away in the courtyard of the Krishna Balaram temple. That's what I heard. So Prabhupada did just such a big miracle. And so one person, Prabhupada, he exhibited all these qualities of a Vaishnava. And he expected his disciples to, he wanted us to exceed him. Of course, we'll never exceed him. But the point is, we should try. And try to make progress. Prabhupada said, there's 26 qualities of a devotee. You have to look and see which ones you don't have. You know, are we silent or poetic or grave, friendly, meek, mild, merciful, truthful? So many qualities. So we have this challenge to become perfect. And the process, we know the process works. All of us know the process works. Otherwise, we wouldn't still be doing it after 20, 20, 30, 40 years, 50 years. So it definitely works, but you have to work hard at it, and you have to be introspective. We have to look in the heart and see. I mean, the process works because I know for myself, I've made a little progress. I'm not very nice at the best of times, but I'm nicer than I was. And you can't help be humbled because Krishna humbles you. Naturally, you know, just getting some skin like a rash, you know, it's humbling. You got this horrible body, it's ugly. I used to think I was good looking, but when I look at a photo of myself, I say, oh my God, how ugly. Having this body is a terrible impediment. But actually, you know, we should be aspiring to get a spiritual body. And one of the wonderful things about devotional service is that actually it does make you happy, because in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's this very nice verse. It says, Akinchanasya dantasya shantasya mamachetasa maya shantasta manasa savasukha maya disha. It says, one who desires nothing within this world, who has achieved peace by controlling his senses, finds only happiness wherever he goes. And then it says, that's not that one. Anyway, it says, those who give up sense gratification and who engage in my devotional service, who are free from false prestige and the desire to be honored by others, they experience a pleasure much greater than those engaged in sense gratification. So Krishna consciousness is, it's joyfully performed. Raja Vijayarajagiram Pavichamitamam Pratakshavagamam Susukam Katam Aviyam. It's joyfully performed. So, but sometimes, you know, we go through periods where it might be a bit dry, or we don't feel we're making advancement, but giving it up, that is like committing suicide. So devotees should always be determined that whatever happens, I will always chant my 16 rounds a day, at least. Recently I spoke to one devotee. He was put into a very difficult situation. And, you know, he got a very bad reputation for something he didn't really do. And he was banned from any temples in ISKCON. I won't mention his name. But to me, he's a great devotee, because instead of complaining and criticizing, all he does, and he can't go outside, his body is not functioning properly. He's chanting 64 rounds a day, and he's spending his whole time reading the books. That to me is a declaration of innocence, whatever he was accused of. But that's my opinion. So, you know, here's an example of somebody who is just so focused on Krishna that no matter what ill repute, physical, he died, he nearly died 3 or 4 times, still completely committed. And, you know, I'm wondering if I would be like that, if I was dying, you know, would I really be, I don't know, not disturbed? Because a devotee is supposed to be peaceful in any situation. So we'll find out when we're dying. But in the meantime, you know, we have this wonderful process, chanting and dancing. And of course, we have all these wonderful books. The books of Vidagdha Madhava, Lalita Madhava, they're not so easy to read. I don't know if any of you have tried to read the books. Anyone try to read those books? the written in code language that I can't really understand, the very, you know, to be privy to Krishna's intimate pastimes, that requires a lot of qualification. So reading those books, there's some code language which is hard to break through. But I know some people who I believe can understand that secret language, and they make it accessible for those that can't. And I'm very grateful to them, because those books are very important, because hearing, as Prabhupada said, hearing about the pastimes, you don't have to go to Vrindavan. I mean, Vrindavan's Vrindavan, but it's a very intense place to live. Panchakuta Prabhu will tell you. It's so noisy, a lot of traffic, so many people. I mean, when I went there, first of all, 50 years ago, Ramanreti, it was all sandy and there was no shops, nothing there. When I went this year, every square meter was somebody selling something. When I went on the Parikrama, which they've paved over now, you couldn't move. I mean, it was crazy. I went there on the holy day. Holy. I didn't even get sprayed, actually. It was amazing. I went up to Varshana as well. Nobody hit me with the dye. Couldn't believe it. But anyway, but, you know, you don't have to go to Vrindavan. You can go to Vrindavan by reading these books. So we have this opportunity to achieve perfection, and we shouldn't be satisfied with anything less, because we won't be able to go back to Godhead until we achieve perfection. We know that a category of gopis, they weren't perfect when they went back to Gokula Vrindavan, So when Krishna played his flute for the rasa dance, for the gopis to join him, they could not go because they were obstructed by the family members. But the pain they felt from being withheld from going to join Krishna was so bad, was so heavy, that they left their bodies. And that pain purified them of the last vestige of material desires they had. So then they could go and join Krishna. So whatever body you get in the spiritual world, of course they're all perfect, like Uddhava. He became a creeper in Vrindavan, or he desired to become a creeper. So the creepers, they all erupt in ecstasy when Krishna plays his flute. When they see the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, all these living entities there, the clouds, they are shielding Krishna from the sun, and they spray these tiny little particles of water to cool him down. The peacocks are dancing. So the peacocks dance, and they wanted Krishna to dance, so Krishna danced, and the peacocks were so amazed by his beautiful dancing that they gave him the only thing they could give him. They didn't have much else. They gave him a peacock feather. Say, where's the peacock feather in his hair? Anyways, this is an ocean of nectarian knowledge, the ocean of devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Hare Krishna. Any questions, comments? Yes. Yeah.
Appreciate your point on Vrindavan is a consciousness, not a necessarily. Right. I mean, the physical place is very potent, but it's also, we need to cultivate that consciousness. was also reflecting Srivas Thakur from that pastime of the Durga worship articles. He, and there's other pastimes of Srivas Thakur, same thing, he was offended in different ways. And he doesn't become defensive. It's one of the things I'm just really seeing. He's not defensive. And in order to cultivate humility, we're talking, you know, there's humility class the other day. And in order to cultivate humility, if we can hold ourselves back from becoming defensive, I think that's why we create a lot of offenses, because we have our triggers. And even in really, like, in our family relationships, if we see ourselves getting defensive, we can think, oh, there's the false ego coming. Wait a minute. And then we can reflect what's happening for me. What's coming up? What is that? And if somebody gives us feedback instead of defensiveness, we can cultivate being grateful. And that's humility. And I think a lot of the offenses is also because people's have wounds, they have hurt, they have pain, and those are getting triggered, they're coming up, and people are blinded, like why they're reacting this way, instead of looking, oh, I actually have some hurt. There's hurt behind that. There's pain. So we can also be compassionate to devotees that are behaving this way, because we can see they're hurting, they have pain.
Right.
Pray for them. And also be aware within ourselves when that trigger comes, when that defensiveness comes, here's the wound, the pain, it's coming up. Let me reflect. This does not serve Krishna. This is not going to be useful in my service.
Yes. Thank you. Hare Krishna. True. Anybody else? Madam Mati?
You must have something to say. Come on.
Okay. Raghat Mukha.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for Bhagavad Katha. It's called Comments and Questions, so I have one comment and one question for you. The comment is, in your personal example about the skin malady, so that's a fascinating synchronicity, that exact thing is mentioned in the verse. So what are the chances of a Bhagavatam speaker here would have the same thing mentioned in the verse? These kind of synchronicities are arranged by their lordships, and if we just paid attention, these kind of synchronicities would happen to us all day. So, because Krishna is winking at us from all sides, through matter, through other people, to remind us that he's present. So I just thought that was an interesting synchronicity, that the skin malady in the shloka was described by you. And speaking of the medical thing, you said six doctors weren't able to find the cause. Because when a devotee surrenders, remember that word surrender? We in Prabhupada's time, we didn't say join. Like, oh, you've been coming for a while to the feast, why don't you join? No, we said, why don't you surrender? Or talking about yourself, yeah, I surrendered 2 years ago, you know, got initiated. So when one surrenders and the spiritual master takes the karma, so now your karma is in a closed loop between you and your body of karma in the Akash and Krishna. So the spiritual master is the gatekeeper of your karma. And anything, reactions that you experience are sanctioned by Krishna. So in your example, the doctors couldn't find the skin thing. So devotees may find this, that the doctors can't find anything. Oh, your tests were perfectly fine. We don't know what's causing. It's because of your prarabdha, those karmic seeds are blossoming. Mm-hmm. And we experience the result, and there's no physical material cause. Mm-hmm. So that just reminded me of something when you said about the skin thing. So that was a comment. And now a question for you. The purport mentions the 26 qualities of the Vaishnav in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Could you please just recite that? It'll take a minute. And then maybe we can push the reset button on our lives today. And take one step closer to Krishna and develop those.
I don't have all the qualities, so I don't remember them. Somebody else can recite it.
Yeah,
who knows the qualities? There's a verse you learn in the... Vaishnava schools where they say the 20, who, you know, my wife knows them, yeah. Come on.
Kind to everyone, does not quarrel with anyone, fixed in the absolute truth, equal to everyone, faultless, charitable, mild, clean, simple, benevolent, peaceful, completely attached to Krishna, has no material hankering, meek, steady, self-controlled, does not eat more than required, sane, respectful, humble, grave, compassionate, friendly, poetic, expert, and silent.
Wow.
Well done. Mother again.
Yes, when Prabhu was talking about the false ego, you know, we hear eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. I always thought of defending as, you know, related to world wars and all that, you know, no end to right. war. But actually, it's something very personal. Every time, I mean, the false ego is always quick to defend. It's really something we have to look
yeah.
at.
Yeah.
I was appreciating your comment. You mentioned that to become humble, one can do so by hearing about great souls. I was thinking that how actually it's very important for us to hear about great people, whether they're in our Shastra or they're amongst us, to hear about them.
Absolutely.
Actually, sometimes when we hear more about, along with those in the Shastra, when we hear from people around us, it makes it, it really helps us to appreciate and inspire.
Yeah.
I heard in Japan, people, one of the big things, and I think that was also in India, but I see things a little different right now, but when kids are growing, they always tell them about great people who did great things rather than some silly stuff, you know.
Mm.
Even they're reading from the very young age, they do so. And that inspires them to become great, and
mm-hmm.
become part of becoming great is to be become humble. Yeah. So thank you for that comment. Appreciated that.
Yeah, I mean, when I look around and see some devotees, they're not even famous, but you know what I see, the service they've done. You know, it's very humbling because I know I couldn't do that, and I probably in 50 lifetimes, I'll never be able to do that. It's not just because I'm a different nature person. It's just I'm not that surrendered. Some devotees, you know, they're just so surrendered and they...
It requires a lot of surrender to go out there every day to
go out there every day. Well, that's not me. Not in this weather. I can't do that. No, I mean, I was thinking this one pujari at Bhaktivedanta Manor. He was, I mean, he lived in the brahmachari ashram. It was, you know, it was very austere. He didn't have his own room. He was sharing a room with three or four other people. 40 years, and he was always there. You know, he didn't get any fame or recognition or anything, but just serving, getting up early, getting the deities clothes. You know, he wasn't the head pujari or anything, but he passed away. He was American, Jivapati, from Chicago. But, you know, he's an example of somebody who so surrendered, so dedicated, not famous, but did so much service. Because then you have, you know, like the prominent devotees who are very inspiring, who've done so much, written so many books, established communities. Yeah, it's important to hear about these people. Hare Krishna. Anything else? Yes?
Yes. I was appreciating, again, your comments towards the end of the class, too, about how these souls are transpiring into to create an environment for Krishna, like you're talking about the mist, you know, the peacocks wanting Krishna to dance with them, so he did. I was listening to a class once by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, and he was saying how the soul is so free that and has this spontaneous desire for serving Krishna in the spiritual world that is always shifting his form. So if they wanted to like be a beautiful bush with blossoming flowers, you can run ahead of Krishna and then become the bush, and then after he passes and gets your fragrance, then you can say, okay, what next? You know, what? How can I serve him now? And then you'd be maybe these pebbles in the creek so that he can walk across the creek. And then after that, you're like, what next? How can I serve him best now? You know, and so you're always in this mood of bringing pleasure to Krishna.
Right.
And then it made me reflect on how incarcerated we are in this body. And with this death sentence hanging over our heads, you know, and how limited we are. And then in reference to, I think towards the end of the class yesterday, when Panchagoda Prabhu was asking something about why does Krishna like push everything to the max, you know, like this Kurukshetra war where millions were killed, or, you know, all of these things taking place. I used to also feel that way, and when I would try to just analyze the thing with Kaliya, the serpent, you know, Kaliya serpent and Krishna dancing on him, and how everyone was on the banks, on the banks of the Jamuna, was literally passing out of fear for Krishna. That how can Krishna be in these coils of this serpent? And I used to think, wow, Krishna, you really you really push us to the brink of, you know, emotionally, right? And I think that Krishna wants to see emotion from us, and but because we're so dull, you know, in these bodies and through matter, it the holy name has to break through. You know, right. Through that dullness, right?
Yeah.
So that we can somehow feel again. You know, I think we've desensitized ourselves birth after birth after birth, and somehow we have to reawaken, you know, that dormant love. Yeah.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai. You wanted to say something, Prabhu? Yeah? No? You always do. This will be the first time I've never heard you ask a question.